This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nunzo from ESPN Milwaukee. Brian Rowitz along for the ride today from ESPN West Palm. Jonathan Hood on assignment today. Again, it's the holidays. A lot of things going on. He's got, 16 other jobs. We'll excuse him, but I believe he will be with us. Just to let you know, we're going to do a special show on Saturday after Saturday night's main event. As that makes its triumphant return to NBC, so we'll be coming on live to give you a recap after that. Speaking of Saturday night's main event, that's where we start in the busy world of professional wrestling. With that coming up, there are three championship matches. Well, technically four, but there are three championship matches where you have a defending champion coming. So we are going to do a little exercise that we've done here on GKW before, Brian. Rank from most likely to least likely the championships that could change hands. And just as a reminder, the championship matches, obviously I was talking about the U.S. Women's Championship. That's going to be a first ever champion. Yeah. So Liv is defending her championship against Io Sky. Gunther is in a triple threat against Finn and Priest. And then KO takes on Cody in the presumed main events for what could be the Eagle Wing title.
There's a gold surprise. I mean, there's been jokes about it being gold dust gear, but Triple H showed Cody something that was gold yesterday on social media. So, yes, everyone assumes it's the Winged Eagle.
So that could be the championship that's being defended in the main event. Which do you like? Let's start with the top of the list. What do you think is the most likely championship to change hands?
So I feel like we have to see a title change on Saturday. They have built this up into such a big show. First time broadcasting since 2008. Jesse the Body Ventura is coming back.
They're bringing back the governor. Yeah.
He also said it's going to be no ramp. He said they're coming through the crowd like back in the day. Like Ooh. They are going old school graphics. Just crowning a women's U.S. champion does not count as a title change. Like, we need to see a title change. And when you look at it.
By the way, Chelsea Green or Rhea Ripley?
Yes, 100%. Like, that is her moment. Give her that moment. Give her that belt right now. So I said it about a month ago when we were talking about Cody. We were talking about WrestleMania. This is KO's moment. KO losing on Saturday completely cuts out his legs, completely ends all his credibility, completely ends his story. Give him the belt. I don't even care if he holds it for a month. Let him get that moment. Cody, it's been an okay run, but let him chase it back, win it back at the Rumble. I don't care. KO has to become the world champion on Saturday night.
Okay, so for that match, I do not have that as my most likely. Oh. It's the one I want to see the most. It's certainly the one I want to see the most. I just have a hard time imagining them actually taking the championship off of Cody. Really? However, like, I think it makes sense. Like, I don't know. So trying to figure out what the WrestleMania picture looks like is difficult, and yet it's easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can kind of piece together some, I think, of what is going on. And I don't know where Cody fits in. Like, if The Rock is not going to be at WrestleMania, like, Cody has no business. And they've separated him from the Bloodline, which is great, which is something that I have asked for. But if Rock isn't coming back, I don't know where Cody fits in. And I don't know, like, there's these other intriguing matches that make more sense for a championship to be on the line. And I don't know where Cody fits in. So Cody losing to KO could be the start of wherever else you're going to go from Cody. Like, we've talked about this before. If we're power ranking, I mean, ESPN does it every week with the NFL teams. If we're power ranking WWE wrestlers right now, I don't know if Cody's in the top five.
I agree.
You know, in terms of compelling, interesting stories that you can tell, I don't know where Cody ranks. Now, this is the best thing by far that he has done outside of the Bloodline stuff. Like, yeah. This has been the best stuff. We've gotten a great promo out of Cody. But also, it's more intriguing if KO comes out of this as champion.
And like, I'd also add, in terms of Cody Bloodline, the most intriguing since Cody Bloodline Part 1. Like, the second round stuff, like that promo with Roman in Atlanta was cool. But that wasn't that great in terms of storytelling.
No,
just the first part.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Just the WrestleMania 39 and 40. Like, if we're combining that into one part, yes. Then yes. But like, I don't know the direction for either of these guys if KO loses. Like, I don't know, and I know, which, by the way, KO's promo with Michael Cole in the car was
so good.
So good. So good.
And then the rolling up of the window.
Yeah. Like, hey, Michael. Rolls up the window. It's fantastic. It's great. But, you know, he lists off Jay and Sam, you know, because Michael did a great, like, I feel under Vince that question's not asked.
Right.
Now to kind of tie it all together, like, hey, you're kind of guys with these. They all went back, you know, to Roman. Shouldn't you have a problem with these guys? And he clearly does. But I think him going after those guys makes more sense as undisputed WWE champion.
Yep.
Than a guy who just went after the top guy lost, and now you're going after – it just doesn't make a ton of sense. Now, again, I don't know where that leaves Cody without a championship, but maybe it allows you to reset Cody because he's far more compelling as somebody who is chasing instead of the guy on the top. So while I would love to see this, I think the more likely scenario is Liv losing to Io Sky.
Okay. Well, real quick on the KO thing, I feel like the path, if he doesn't win, if Orton cost him, then you start that path, because we keep talking about Mania and the path to Mania, but all the reports we keep seeing is that January 6th on Netflix is essentially Mania Part 1. So yes, there's going to be a lot of stuff that night that maybe we anticipated in April, a la Seth Rollins and CM Punk, which we'll get into, that maybe we see in January instead. So I think that throws a curveball into it.
And I know we're doing this, you know, at WWE trying to take advantage of college football and the transfer portal. So now the portal's open. So maybe it opens up something else for Cody. But even if Cody wins, like, I don't know where he turns.
Right.
Like, I don't know where he goes. Like,
there's nothing there. Like, this was the perfect one. You needed someone to turn heel. It was KO. The storytelling has been great. They're not insulting our intelligence, like you said, with some of those questions where it's like, hey, I'm dealing with that. And even planting those little nuggets, and to me, maybe being too excited, but him saying he's going to deal with Sammy. If we get KO Sammy part 3,452 at Mania, sign me up. Like, I'm into that.
For the WWE Championship. What if we do that? I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know where that leaves Cody. I don't know where you turn with Cody. I just don't know. I don't know at this point, because again, the only thing that makes sense for Cody is The Rock,
right?
It's the only thing that makes sense. And if Rock isn't coming, and I think you just have to take, but again, if The Rock is coming, then you need that probably to be for WWE Championship. I don't know. It's all.
I don't know if that match needs a belt.
No, but I mean, the way they had done it, because Rock gave himself the People's Championship thing, so it's like People's Champion versus WWE Champion, like, that's going to look good on all the promotion.
But I mean, you floated this out, I feel like, a year ago at this point. Rock, Cody, January 6th, Netflix, that doesn't need a belt.
No, look, it doesn't. Like, the final boss turned it into a blood feud. Like,
yes,
he turned it into a blood feud right away. So does it need a championship? No, but it felt like, because he had the People's Championship,
sure,
like, they were going to turn it into a People's Championship versus WWE Championship type of deal, and that's how they jump into it. I don't know, but again, The Rock, I think, is going to be there for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows if he's actually going to be there for Mania. He has not committed. And as long as Hunter likes to kind of plan some of these things out, like, so that's just the kind of wrench in the entire thing.
Sure.
But I think Liv versus Io,
sure,
so is the most likely.
I mean, we talk about disappointing title runs. I feel like Liv and Rhea need to be separated already. Like, that was one of the highlights of 2024. They did an amazing job telling stories, but it sort of run its course. We talked last week with MJF and Cole how it's sometimes a storyline, you hit the end of the road. I feel like we're there with Liv and Rhea, and Liv dropping the belt might actually help with that. We saw that little tease of Io and Rhea this week.
Well, that's...
maybe that's something.
Well, I think that is something, right? Like, that wasn't very subtle. That was taking a chair to the head of, oh, this is what we're teasing,
right,
of something going forward. So I think Io becoming champion here just makes a ton of sense to me. Like, Liv, whatever's going on with Judgment Day, she doesn't need to be a champion.
Yep.
Again, she kind of feels like as champion as like the de facto, even though there's no, you know, leaders in the Judgment Day. She kind of feels like it the way she bosses around Finn and some of the other guys from time to time. But I think that Judgment Day almost has run its course too.
Sure.
Yeah, and this can be the start of the unraveling of that, right? Like, she loses a championship. We're going to have Finn you know, probably lose. I mean, probably take the pin, I would assume, yeah, in the triple threat match. At some point, they're going to lose their tag team championships, and that whole thing can start to unravel, and this can be the start of that. The reaction the crowd gave to Io and Rhea both grabbing onto that belt, that just tells me, and especially, like, okay, they floated the balloon out there of, okay, what happens if they both grab the belt? Let's see how the crowd, because obviously they're going to do that. Oh, the crowd is into it. All right, well, let's go ahead and fast track this thing and get on to Io versus Rhea.
And that's the thing about fast track, like, that could be Netflix. Like, we don't need to wait till Mania for that. We don't need one of them to win the Rumble. Nope. Like, you can do that January 6th, and those two can tear the house down. We know what they can do in the ring, and I'm glad they're sort of planting those seeds. And like you said, it definitely passed the smell test on Monday. It's like, oh, yeah, that works. Let's follow that.
Yeah, please. I'll take more of that. Yeah, please and thank you. And I think we're in agreement in terms of Gunther, Finn, Priest.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the end of Gunther's time yet.
Right. And Gunther, who is face-ish right now.
Face adjacent, certainly.
Yeah, he's in a weird spot, but I think him being the champion, him being dominant, like, there's still so many paths you can go with him. Like, you know, we talked last week, maybe Cody Cena at Mania, Gunther Cena at Mania, I would be into. Like, him just crushing John Cena and people getting excited about John Cena potentially breaking the record, that could be a fun Mania moment.
Oh, it absolutely could be. You know, and maybe Cena's the secondary plan for Cody, and you can do legend, you know, kind of like they've done in years past. You know, the lineage of the whole thing of being Rock versus Hogan, Rock versus Cena, Cena versus Cody. You know, I think that's, you know, that's something you could kind of, in the lineage of that, I think that's maybe something for Cody, especially if he loses to KO. But again, the thing I am most interested in is KO versus Cody. As good as this card is, as fun as it's going to be, Sammy versus Drew also on this card. I like how we're not messing around. We're just throwing this on here. Like, we don't need a reason other than Drew came back, attacked Sammy, cut a nice little backstage promo. So Sammy went, hey, I talked to Adam Pearce. We're fighting on Saturday. Yep. All right.
I think the best part with WWE right now is the main event is so strong. Like, we have talked for the last couple of years. It's Roman, and then maybe, you know, Cody eventually worked his way up there. There was a lot of like, I don't really see it. It is strong right now at the top of the card, and that's why you had the intrigue of Mania, and like I said, January 6th before that. So Triple H is cooking right now.
Well, bottom of the card needs a little work.
I said top of the card for a reason.
I mean, I don't know how you felt about the Wyatt 6 versus you know, the big return of Paul Ellering.
Yeah.
For what are they calling themselves?
The final
Testament.
Yes.
Final Testament.
It makes it easier to watch 2 hours of Raw when there's parts you can fast forward through. So shout out to them for providing that. So there's that.
Move on. We call it the three count here on GKW. The other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. What's number one this week?
All right. This week in pro wrestling, women's wrestling has dominated. Raw, NXT, Dynamite, three straight shows, three straight women main events. So which company right now has the best women's division?
All right. So I wrote down, are we including Becky in this? We can't really include Becky, right? Even though I think she's eventually coming back to WWE and...
Yeah, she's like, doing press. She's the betting favorite for the Rumble, but she's not on TV yet.
I mean, probably going to return for Netflix.
Yeah, that would make sense. And she's not quite there yet.
No.
Tony Storm, you can count. Tony Storm is back.
Yes.
Timeless.
Tony Storm is on the list. So when I look at it, I think the top, kind of going back to the conversation we just had, I think that the top of the card for WWE is a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Rhea, because of Bianca, because of really what Nia's been doing. Like, I feel like she hasn't, I mean, since she's come back, like, she used to be somebody before she was let go, where somebody is like, okay, she's there. Like, she has been doing really good work, especially with Tiffany. I feel like that top is pretty strong. Liv, even though we said, hey, maybe it's time for her to drop, like, I think that she has been a very strong character. I just feel like the depth in AEW, once I started writing down all the names, like, holy bleep, this is such a deep women's division over in AEW. So the top, I guess I'm copping out on the to answer the question. The top is better in WWE, but the depth for AEW, And I think we got to see that, because not only did we see a really good match to close out Dynamite last night with, I guess you can't really count Mina. She's almost on loan from Stardom.
Yeah, I don't, does she work there? I honestly don't know.
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea. I mean, the match was good. She was on television. Yeah. What she has provided AEW has been really good. I don't know if she's ever gotten the All Elite post on social media, so I don't know if she counts. But still, you've got, you know, Thunder Rosa there. You've got Toni Storm returning. There's just there are a lot of depth going on right now in AEW. And then, of course, Mercedes, what she's doing with the TBS championship. Julia Hart is waiting in the wings with some really good promos and some vignettes kind of teasing her comeback. I think AEW is just deeper.
So I lean WWE, because it's a conversation we've had a lot with AEW, is the potential is there, but we just haven't seen it yet. I agree. That roster, Willow, Julia, Mariah, Tony, Mercedes,
Athena, like, what? How is Athena? What? Right. She's like the only person from ROH that just doesn't appear on AEW television. Right. I don't know what's going, but she still like never loses, from my understanding. Right. I don't have Honor Club, and our designated ROH guy's not here today. But like, she never loses in ROH. She's been the world champion in ROH for like ever.
Yes.
I put Athena with a question mark, like.
And then even that, Athena adjacent is Billy Starks. Every time you see her, like when you watch the ROH pay-per-views every few months, like, wow, Billy Starks is damn good. Like, she's so young, but she is damn good. But we just haven't seen that next step taken yet with the women's division. Like,
yeah, like Deonna Purrazzo is really good. Like, Harley Cameron is kind of filling that Chelsea Green role of like this comedic relief. And she's really good at filling a role. Like, Chris Statlander. Friend of show Chris Statlander, like, everything is there to have a really good women's division. But again, then they dropped the ball. Like, I would have loved if, and as much as I liked Mariah versus Mina last night, could have been longer, could have given them a little bit more time. 100%. And that's just kind of the issue.
It feels at times like the women's division for AEW was like, oh yeah, we have to get a women's match out so no one complains. Like, and they just throw one out there. It's the middle of the card. There's not much story there. They're trying, like you mentioned, Harley Graham, like, she is telling stories. She is entertaining. Anna Jay, the improvement you've seen from her in the ring. And she's in these big time spots, but then ended up losing. Like, they sort of dropped the ball with Camille. Like, I haven't seen a ton of her before, but people had high hopes for her. And then we saw what happened. And it's like, you know, we can move on from Camille. Like, they're just missing
Jamie
something
Hayter
right now. Yes, she's back and she's just sort of floating around right now. Willow, like you said, friend of the show, we've talked about where, when she gets that big moment, it should be a huge deal, but she just goes out there and doesn't get big wins and this and that. So that's why I lean WWE, because I have more confidence that we're going to see Rhea take that big step and make a big moment. We're going to see Io get a big shot. We're going to see Liv do these things. We're going to see Nia. We're going to see Tiffy cash in one day, and it's going to be a big moment. They are actually cashing in on their women's stories, and that's why I lean WWE right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point, but there's still some room for improvement for the WWE.
Sure.
I think the addition, I'm curious to see how these secondary titles for the women turn out.
Sure, that's fair.
Because the way that they've treated the Intercontinental, like the U.S. Championship has been a lot bigger of a deal. It was announced first, it was announced on television, it is being featured on Saturday night's main events. The Intercontinental Championship, I have no idea when that's finishing up. It was announced off of television and then replayed back. Like, I don't know why they couldn't, like, you made the time for the replay, like, just announce it on TV, man. Like, I don't understand.
I remember seeing people tweet about it and I'm like, did I miss something? Like, wrong. Like, I'm so confused right now. Like, I thought I was pretty tapped in. I was like, when did they announce this? And then it was just before the show, because
before the show. And then they just played it back on the show, which made no sense. And I'm just, especially after talking to some of the women we've talked about in both companies, WWE and AEW, about how they feel like the next step in the evolution of women's wrestling is telling very meaningful stories without the assistance of a championship.
Yep.
And I'm a little worried that these championships, the secondary ones, are going to become a little bit of a crutch. I hope they don't. I hope they can still tell meaningful stories. And I hope at some point, you know, some of those women that we've talked to get their opportunity to, you know, like Bianca. Hey, go into Mania and get a big time match without a women's world championship, right, or the IC or US women's championship. So I'm curious. That being said, the build for the US women's championship has been really good.
Yes,
has been 100%. Very good. And that's because I think there's somebody everybody is rooting for. Like, as a wrestling community, we are all rallying behind Chelsea because we want this so much for her. We probably want it more than she wants it, if we're going to be honest, right? Like, I think as a wrestling community, we want it more for Chelsea. But that's what makes this fun, when everybody gets behind someone like this, and hopefully she ends up being the champion.
Because also, I mean, those seeds have been planted. We had Chelsea on over the summer. It was right before Money in the Bank. And she started talking, and we were, you know, playing it up about her winning Money in the Bank. And remember the reaction when she qualified. Like, she ended up winning on a SmackDown. I believe it was right after she was on with us.
Correct.
And it was a massive pop. And it was like, wait a minute, is Chelsea going to get that briefcase? And she ended up taking, you know, the bump of the match. I think it's still shown it, like her falling off the ladder and somehow staying safe. She has built herself up, where in AEW, we don't really have that example. Willow has built herself up, but doesn't have that big win. Even I'd give WWE credit. We talked about it last week. Women's War Games wasn't great, probably wasn't even necessary, but the fact that they had it and had the women going out there and doing it and not having title matches, that speaks a lot, whereas AEW hasn't done something like that. I would love to see a Blood and Guts women's match and not have a men's one year if they're able to tell a story.
I mean, next time they do Blood and Guts, this roster is so damn deep. Right. Like, how do you not figure this out, man? Like, let's do this. You got so many women on there. Whereas, again, you start getting down, especially on the Raw side of things. Holy bleep, is that it is bleak over there. Thank God the portal's open, so maybe we can get some of these women from SmackDown over there to fill out the depth on the Raw side.
Well, the crazy part also is NXT. Like, I only watch the PLEs. They are so damn deep in the women's division there. Like, you have Julia, you have Stephanie McCour, you have Jada Parker, you have, you know, Roxanne Perez. Like, there are names there that are ready to be stars, which is impressive. Like,
on Raw, basically, it's Liv, Rhea, and Raquel. That's about it. I mean, on SmackDown, it's Bayley, Bianca, Candice, Chelsea, Naomi, Nia, Tiffy, and, I guess Io's, where's Io?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know. Is she technically Raw?
Yeah,
I mean, everything's kind of messed up.
But even
right now,
you mentioned Candice. Like, the fact that we've seen Candice in big spots. Like, she's someone that would have been forgotten about in AEW. I love watching her work, but she's someone that would be relegated to Rampage, where, you know, you're sort of doing that with Harley Cameron, and she's making the most of her moment. Like, AEW needs to just take that next step. They have the roster. We say it on both sides. Doesn't matter to the gender. Like, just push through and tell those stories.
Yeah, it's, you've got enough television time. Like, right. We should, you know, we should be able to figure this something out if you're AEW with a little bit more. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
What do we got at number two this week?
All right. We saw on Raw a promo from Seth Rollins explaining to the world why he hates CM Punk. We talk about past the Mania. CM Punk definitely has many options. What is the Punk match you most want to see right now?
Roman? I think it's Roman.
So I think it's Roman. We have Rollins.
Yep.
Sammy sort of, you know, doing stuff there.
Yep.
Were there other options out there right now?
Well, I wrote down four.
Okay.
And the other two I put on there is just because whoever comes out of that match, I think you have to put it on the list. But Cody and KO, I put them on my list because if CM Punk is staying true to what he has so far. Yep. There's been some detours along the way, like Drew McIntyre, like War Games. But if he's staying true to what he had told Seth Rollins, like, hey, you had something. I'm not making anything personal. I'm here to make money and win championships. So I think Cody and KO would naturally have to be on that list. I don't think Gunther's on that list right now, even though he's going to be champion. It makes more sense with Cody KO, whoever ends up being champion out of that match there.
I also don't trust CM Punk surviving a Gunther match.
That's fair.
That has to be concerned when it comes to CM Punk.
Yep, very fair. Very fair. So I think those are the four really right now. Roman, Seth, Cody KO, and apparently, again, the rumors are that they're building towards Seth Punk, not for Mania.
Right.
But for that January 6th Monday Night Raw.
Yes, to me, it's Rollins. Like, the promos have been so good. I love this edgy Rollins right now where he's not quite a heel and, like, he still does some of the face stuff where he's playing up the theme song and stuff like that. But I've loved what I've seen from him. that feels like a Mania main event that should have a title involved. And, you know, we talked for years about CM Punk and the WrestleMania main event. I don't know if that's his spot right now. I think, you know, you can definitely write some ways where he is the one main eventing Mania, but him and Rollins from an in-ring, from a promo, I think that will ultimately deliver. Whereas Roman doesn't quite have the same emotional connection. Like, I love the fact that Rollins brought up Punk leaving and, you know, calling him saying like, hey, because I wasn't there and because I didn't quit, like all of a sudden he wasn't taking my call. It's like playing into the real life stuff was pretty intense on Monday. And I love seeing that.
Oh yeah. And that's, again, that's the mistake AEW made with Punk, right? Like they had the opportunity and they did not do that. And
no, that's like backstage stuff when, you know, he worked for another company.
Yeah, that was, yeah. But with Punk, I also love the way that he's handling it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Seth is out there pleading for the crowd to be on his side, which they were not, by the way,
right,
chanting Punk's name during his promo. He wants them to see Punk as he sees him. And Punk doesn't have to go out there to, because the way that they're playing this is Punk doesn't care about Seth.
Right.
Dude, you're not champ. I don't give a rip about you. So all you need is a 60-second backstage interview for Punk. And because he's Punk and he can get to the point, he can be very pointed in that 60 seconds of, hey, you're a backup. Starter's here. You know, you should be on the bench. Like, just, okay, boom. Like, hey, I don't really care about you. This is what I think about you. I'm moving on. Whereas Seth is out there cutting a long Seth Rollins promo. Like, no, I need this. And you know, pleading for everyone to be on his side. The way that they're handling it makes a ton of sense too. That's true to what both characters are right now.
But I think you can do Netflix and Mania with both these guys and just make Mania a title match. Maybe you make the Netflix match a number one contender match. Rollins wins that match. Now all of a sudden you got edgy Punk. Like, damn, you cost me my shot. Rollins becomes the champion and Punk goes down that path to eventually challenge him, whether it be Rumble or Elimination Chamber. So I think there are still ways you can go there and run it back.
Yeah, but again, the path for me is CM Punk main event night two WrestleMania. That's the goal. We already know who's going to be in the main event of Mania Night 2.
Right. No,
Roman Reigns. Roman.
Yes.
Roman's going to be there. Come hell or high water, Roman Reigns is going to be there. I used to complain about Roman always being there. He's the most compelling dude in WWE. Like, yep. It's just the way it is now. Like back when he was, you know, beating Undertaker and they were him and Triple H. Like, it wasn't into as much back then. Now it makes a ton of sense. And like, again, Punk playing, because there's layers, right? Like, right. Yes, we've got the Seth thing going on, but what was the first question that he was asked in that backstage interview? Hey, can you tell us about this favor?
Right.
Tell us about the favor. Well, playing that close to the chest. So that's always lingering out there. And Roman Punk Roman's the top guy. CM Punk wants to be that next top guy. And again, if we're power ranking wrestlers right now, I think Roman's one and CM Punk's two.
Right.
On the men's side. So that just makes a ton of sense. I don't know what the story is there necessarily that they build after, oh, hey, the big favor is main event of WrestleMania against your guy Roman, you know, from Paul. I don't know where they go from there, but I trust both of those guys enough. And I trust Paul Heyman and Triple H that they're going to tell something really compelling that makes me feel the way I feel right now about Seth and Punk.
Right. No, I agree. And that's the thing, like, we talk about where Cody is in terms of intrigue, but he still is someone that is, you know, face of the company. Like he calls himself QB1, that I feel like he's still above Punk in terms of pecking order of, hey, this is who's closing the show. And then
okay,
you mentioned the Rock part.
I want to pause on the QB thing.
Okay.
Because I don't know what interview it was that KO was asked to name three things he hates about Cody. Having your own tracksuit with QB on it.
Yeah.
That's pretty heelish.
Right.
Right. Like, can we just address how, like, that's kind of a heel, arrogant heel move. That's not like over babyface move that you're walking around with a tracksuit with QB on. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, that's also really weird. Like, why are you doing that?
I completely agree with that. And, you know, it's just this, and that's the thing about the KO part. Like, everything he's doing makes sense.
Yeah.
And like playing to the heel, but also like, oh no, KO's right. Like, I think that adds to the storyline right now. And I think we'll see some of that with Punk and Rollins, like the way they get on the mic, like some of the Rollins stuff. he was getting booed and people were cheering for Punk, but what he was saying was right. And I think there is so much more intrigue when you're playing to the younger audience. We're like, well, I'm still going to chant for Punk. But then you have fans like us who are like, oh, yeah, he's right. Like, Punk's an asshole. Like, that's been fun to see.
Yeah. No, again, it's those blurring of those lines, right? Like, you're bringing in some of the real life stuff, you know, that makes the whole thing a lot more intriguing. It's not just traditional, oh, this is the good guy. And again, this is the stuff that we hated with Roman. Oh, he is the white meat baby face. You must cheer for him. Whereas, I mean, you take a look, I mean, Roman, as has been pointed out, has he really changed?
Right. Agreed.
You know, has he really changed? So he's kind of this tweener guy. You mentioned Gunther. He's kind of a tweener guy. Same thing with Seth and CM Punk. Like, there's no just, oh yeah, this guy is just this beacon of good in WWE right now. And I think that's why the main event is so, it's almost like a choose your own adventure.
Right.
All right, you can cheer for whoever you want because everyone's making valid points. Like, there's no right or wrong answer here.
Yeah, and that's, I think, adds to it. And that's what, you know, Punk, we've talked a lot. You don't need him out there every week wrestling. He's going to be able to tell stories with the mic. The fact that Rollins is able to do that also, like, I think that's why that makes it the most intriguing to me. And then, I mean, we've talked about him a few times. Like, The Rock just sort of being out there and being who he is there a world that exists where we have the path and it's going to be Punk main eventing and then Dwayne late March, like, you know what? I am available. And Punk gets told to sit down again.
So, that was the fifth name I wrote down, was Rock. Because, like, you could start something really compelling after, because, yes. Again, if Rock comes back right now, it's for Roman, it's for Cody.
Yes.
Punk is so far away from that.
Right.
But if we're on a trajectory, again, this is taking such a leap of faith for Punk's health.
Right.
But I think there is a way where you could set up something for 42 of WrestleMania.
Again, that's way too risky.
I understand. It's a huge risk, but it would be a huge payoff if we would actually get Rock Punk then down the line. But I did write down Rock as like a distant fifth option.
Well, then, so as we sit here mid-December, does CM Punk get a Mania main event either night?
I say yes. I think he main events the whole thing with Roman.
Okay. I don't see it yet. I think somehow he gets cut down and he tries to show he's the bigger person and he's better and he's okay with that. Because also, I mean, talk about his health being a risk. He is still who he is. So you run the risk if he's not the main event that he walks out the door the next day. Like, that's still a world that we live in. He still is who he is. So
even though everything by all reports has been going very well for him in WWE. But I just, again, I feel like him main eventing night one is the same as in his mind. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he actually has changed. And I've said this before. But him main eventing night one is the same as him main eventing with The Undertaker, right? When they, triple main event at WrestleMania this year. And no, going on the last, like the entire WrestleMania going on last, Roman's going to be there. Don't know how, Roman's going to be there. So if Punk actually is going to main event a WrestleMania, which he wants to, he's got to go up against Roman. And for the reasons that we listed before and the reasons why I don't think you can take that risk, and because The Rock isn't going to be there, at least I think right now, CM Punk versus Roman, main event WrestleMania. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, is Punk Cody intriguing? Or do you need one of them to be a heel there?
No, because again, like, I mean, Cody's the only guy who, I guess, He's the whitest white, I guess, of the white meat baby face, even though there's a little bit of gray in there as well. You could convince me. Look, it's CM Punk.
Right.
He's going to tell a good story with anyone. Like, you could convince me to punk Cody. That ain't main eventing Mania, but it could.
Because you talk about the health. I even wonder if they're worried to throw him in the Rumble. That's where he got hurt last year and you ruined Mania plans. Like, and then that being said, you're not going to throw him in an elimination chamber and run the risk of him getting hurt there. So you need to find a way to get him there, but also protect him and put him in bubble wrap for, you know, the next 4 months.
Yeah.
So
that's the tough part with CM Punk, right?
Uh-huh.
What's number three?
All right. In the world of AEW, the Continental Classic rolls on. Reaction has been mixed, to say the best. Collision and Rampage, some of their lowest ratings ever this past week. So simple question. Is the Continental Classic working?
I think it is, and I think the ratings aren't down because of the content. It's a classic. They're going up against a lot of other things right now, like Monday Night Raw had a brutal rating because you had the Simpsons version of Monday Night Football going on that drew more people over there than just your typical Monday Night, and that it still drew like the biggest number since like 2001 or something. Like for the Cowboys and Bengals, really? But okay, that's a different conversation for a drastically different show.
Good old football.
I think it is. I think it's working. I mean, are there decisions I would make differently? Yes. Like I wouldn't have Daniel Garcia in this. Like the only champion who should be in this is Okada as the, you know, continental champion. So I don't like the fact that Garcia's in it. I think it's working because it provides us with great matchups. Like they're Collision and Dynamite, like I thought they cruised. I thought they were easy watches. They were fun watches because you have these fun, entertaining matchups with something on the line. I think the Continental Classic is something that's really good for AEW. That being said, obviously the crowd wanted a different winner in Ricochet versus Brody King last night.
Yep.
I don't think they were anticipating Ricochet getting booed as he was winning, even though he didn't do anything as a heel. Like he didn't do anything underhanded. He just won the match. Obviously, Brody King has a huge crowd behind him. That's something we've talked about. And it looks like he's going to get left behind because my guess is Ospreay and Ricochet end up being the victors in the blue. I don't know who ultimately comes out of the gold. Probably Fletcher, maybe Okada, because he is the other champion coming out of the gold, the two to come out of there. But other than that, I think it's a success. It's giving us great matchups. It's giving us fun matchups. Like even like Beast Mortos, who knows if he actually wins a match. Same thing when Mark Briscoe does have a win, but those are two very capable wrestlers. Same thing with Shelton Benjamin. Like three very capable wrestlers who are going to finish at the bottom of the gold that are going to give us great fun matches along the way that require minimal storytelling, which to me is when AEW's at its best.
So my issue right now, from a pure wrestling standpoint, I've loved it. Like these combinations, like we'll talk about match of the week. Like we got Claudio and Ospreay in a ring last night on free TV just for the hell of it. Like
why not? Yeah. Hey.
So yes, that is amazing. And then, but my issue right now is last year was such a success because we saw some of these stars take a next step in storytelling. You look at the way the standings are right now. Claudio, Ricochet, Ospreay all tied with 6 points. Brody and Darby have three. The other side, Fletcher has 9 points. Garcia, Okada with four. Briscoe and Shelton with three. There hasn't been that moment where I've seen a star made just yet. Kyle Fletcher's getting those wins, but he was already on that path. Him beating Ospreay at the last pay-per-view was a big moment for him. He hasn't really needed this. To your point, Daniel Garcia running hot, doing a great job. You had that draw with Okada. You were like, all right, there's something. But then he loses to Mark Briscoe on Saturday night, which didn't seem necessary. And we just haven't seen that. Brody would have been the perfect one. And maybe there's still time. He's 3 points back. If he comes out of that side, then I'm happy to be proven wrong there. But the fact that we're not getting those next steps yet is sort of my only gripe right now when it comes to it.
Yeah, and look, maybe there's going to be a surprise because I think at this point in the tournament a year ago, I think you would have probably thought your guy had no chance.
Right.
Because he was buried in the bottom of the standings. Yeah. And then Eddie, you know, gets hot at the end and they have, you know, they do the fun thing where there is a tie and, oh, look at all of a sudden, right, here he is. Eddie Kingston's, you know, one of the final four standing and then Eddie ends up winning the whole thing. Like there's still time for some sort of underdog to rise up out of this. Like there's still plenty of time for that.
And that's that. If that happens, I'm happy with it. If it's Brody, great. Ricochet, like, if we get a heel turn and maybe he becomes part of the Hurt Syndicate, I'm all for that. But right now, the guys winning don't really need it. Like, Claudio doesn't need it. Ospreay doesn't need it. Fletcher, great. It's helping continue his push. But, like, I don't think he really needed to be in this to have that happen.
Yeah, Ospreay didn't need to be in this. I understand putting him in it because, again, he's... You get Ospreay versus Claudio just for no reason. That's fantastic. But I think I'm at the point with Ospreay where him winning this doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
Like, I don't care if he's the continental champ or the continental champion. Yeah, there's too many in AEW. But if he's continental champion, I don't care. Because to me, the next step for Will Ospreay is, all right, you've kept him away from the world championship picture long enough. At some point, he's going to have to become involved with that. Like, him winning any sort of other secondary championship is, I mean, good for him, cool for him. But, like, he's too good to be held down out of that main event picture. The way he's been able to grow and cut, you know, promos on the microphone, he's obviously the best in-ring performer in all of professional wrestling today. So him winning this doesn't do me any good. But at the same time, like, if he suffers a couple of losses and isn't in the final four, like, does that do any damage? Because he's right. Eaten a lot of losses along the way since he's come over to AEW. And maybe, I guess we don't know him like we knew Bryan Danielson. Maybe he's just going, yeah, I don't care, I'll lose. You know, maybe he's just like Danielson and willing to eat all these losses and needs to be convinced, like, no, dude, you actually have to win every once in a while.
Well, I'd make that case for Darby. Like, is Darby getting hurt being in this and taking losses and not potentially being in the final four? Because I don't know if he's going to be in the final four at this point. Like, and we're supposed to be building him up as the guy that ultimately unseats Mox, which we've talked about in the past. But, like, is this cutting the legs out from him right now?
Yeah, but he's not that guy. Like, he's got to go climb Everest. He's talking about putting the AEW flag on Everest, right? Like, I mean, he's not going to be around. He's not a guy I'm counting on. Like, he's going to put on entertaining matches and do really just reckless stuff. Like the spot he did with the chair where he did the suicide dive and, like, dove into the chair as the guy got out of it. And, like,
what about punching himself in the mouth last night?
And yeah, that was blood. Weird. Like, yeah, that was.
I haven't seen that before.
open yourself up the hard way, I guess. That's like, he's a psychopath and he's a great attraction. But again, I don't think that he's a future world champion.
Yeah,
I don't see him being that guy.
That's my only gripe. And, like, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited about the format, like, doing first for second on both sides, and the semis and the finals on the same night. I think will be cool. It'll add to World's End. I'll be there in Orlando, so that'll be fun to see. But I just hope we see someone become a star out of this that wasn't already.
Yeah. Well, again, Tony, listen to your audience.
Right.
They are begging. They are begging for Brody King.
Yeah.
Begging for him right now. Like, when Ricochet hit the shooting star press and he didn't even get to cover him because he reached up and grabbed him by the throat, like, the pop and excitement that was in everybody there, which was a pretty good crowd last night.
Yeah.
AEW for Dynamite, the last couple Dynamites have been some pretty good crowds. He's right there, man. Like, the crowd's been behind him, and it feels like the crowd knows, like, hey, we need to push harder for this guy. So they have been during this tournament. Brody King's right there, and you've got an opportunity, I think, to do something really fun with him where the rest of them don't need it.
Right, and I'll say, you know, we've complained a lot about how AEW basically just doesn't know how to book big men. Letting Brody win this and becoming the champ at the end of it, you prove us all wrong. Like, good to go. If he's the one that is standing ultimately at the end of this.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we go through the rest of this, Ospreay, like you said, doesn't need it. Ricochet doesn't need it. Claudio doesn't need it. I could make a case of him holding on to a championship because, well, no, he's part of the Trios champions. So he's already got a belt. So he doesn't necessarily need it to make, you know, the Death Riders look even stronger. Fletcher doesn't need it because he was on that track. Garcia's the TNT champ. Okada doesn't need it because he's bleeping Okada.
Right.
Like, like, the one that makes the most sense on this is Brody King. Hopefully, maybe he goes from being the big dog to the underdog and fights from his, you know, doesn't lose from here on out.
Right. No, I agree. So hopefully we see that. I mean, we're a few more weeks of it, but gotten great wrestling out of it.
Yeah, which is, again, why the Continental Classic is always going to work for me at the end of the day. What do we have in news and notes this week, Brian?
All right. You mentioned Bobby Lashley. We're talking about the Hurt Syndicate. In an interview with Chris Van Vliet, he says he wishes there would have been more that he could have done with Brock Lesnar during his time in the WWE. And also had a quote, they could have put us together and ran us like the Road Warriors. So he'd be into the Lashley-Brock tag team?
I would have been. I don't think Brock would have been. Which is kind of the problem there. I think that's, I mean, if you put them together, I think that would breathe life some into the tag team division. But I also don't see Brock Lesnar showing up, like, having a part-time tag team champ. Like, that doesn't work.
Well, that's, like, the thing, the way Vince used to book the tag division, like, they'd forget they were a tag team. And then all of a sudden just, you know, break them up randomly. It's like, wait, like, what happened there? So, like, Lashley had all these story ideas, and I think he forgot where he worked and ultimately who had the pencil in that company.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do it in AEW.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, but I don't think Brock's working anywhere anytime soon.
You never know.
So, but yes, I would have been into it. Brock Lesnar wouldn't have been, and that ultimately would have been the big problem with it.
That is very true. Also in the WWE, Undertaker on a 6 Feet Under podcast says his WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns still bothers him. He adds that he wishes he could have given Roman more, but his body was just breaking down.
I mean, we all knew it.
Yes.
And we all hoped that he could capture the magic one more time, but he just couldn't, you know. I feel bad for him because he is one of the best performers in WWE history. And because he is who he is, like, he just can't let go of that. Now, they gave him the great send-off and the cinematic match and all the memes it produced with him and AJ was a great way to send him off. I just wish his body wouldn't have betrayed him the way that it did, and he could have had more of a Sting send-off than ultimately what he had. Because I think that's what AEW was just planning on using Sting for, and I don't know if Sting found the Fountain of Youth or whatever it was, because then he, you know, thought we were just going to get a couple cinematic matches from Sting in AEW, and next thing you know, he's jumping out of the stands onto people in arenas all across the country. I wish Taker could have had that. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be with the way his body was so beat up.
Yeah, and it was rough to see those last few minutes to the point where, like, all right, we've seen enough. That Roman match with Taker happened in Orlando, so I was there for it. It's still one of the weirdest endings, like, crowd feelings I've ever been around, because it was just sort of like, ugh, that sucks. Like, it wasn't even like booing or upset or like heel heat. It's like,
it's just sad.
Sucks. Yeah. Like, and then he leaves the booth, and even that's like, oh, whatever. Like, I remember walking down an escalator and everyone just bitching was like, that wasn't fun. Like, no one, like, everyone just seemed so upset. And like, that's the same night, like, the Hardys came back, which was like the high of the highs.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you could have gone home an hour ago.
Yeah, cool, because at that point, like, Roman's being shoved down your throat.
Right.
So you're not happy about that. You know Roman's going to win, and then Taker just can't go, and it just becomes – it's kind of sad. Like, you're sad, and you're angry. Like, you're sad for Taker, and you're angry about Roman, and just – yeah, just not good for anybody involved.
No, not great. Brian Danielson, talking to Denise Salcido, says his next – well, not great. Says he's happy, but he's not sleeping much. He is trying to avoid surgery. If he ever wrestles again, he said right now, quote, 50-50.
I hope he wrestles again because I think he wants to. If he doesn't, I'm okay with how it ended. And it sounds like he's okay with how it ended too. Like, if he doesn't wrestle again, it seems like he's going to be happy. And, you know, I think maybe getting that surgery makes it less likely he'll wrestle again. I'm not sure. But he's, again, he's doing his best to try to hold it off as long as he can and hope he can get some recovery without constantly, you know, beating his body up inside of a ring. I think him showing up makes me think maybe he does have a future in AEW.
Sure.
Not necessarily as a professional wrestler, but the fact that he's still showing up for Tony and showing up for the event they had to kick off ticket sales for All in Texas, maybe he will be around, and maybe eventually Tony does give him the pencil and we can get Brian Danielson versus Triple H booking these big shows.
Yeah, I was surprised at that because to me, he was always going to be a guy that ended up back in the WWE. Like, I always saw, like, they inducted him in the Hall of Fame and ended up being a backstage guy there, because I feel like the Bellas have more of a relationship there. So from a life standpoint, I don't think he's ever going to just give up wrestling. Health, you know, whatever. Like, I still have the dream of being at a random indie show in a gym and there's Brian in front of 250 people because that's what he does. And he's, like you've said, a psychopath. So
yeah. And then Final Countdown. Yeah. He comes, you know, it comes for a death match somewhere, you know, with Final Countdown playing and 200 people just go lose their minds.
What?
Yeah. That would be so sick. Like, that's where he returns.
Didn't Punk, when he was not in wrestling, show up at some indie show like Mask?
In Milwaukee. He did it in Milwaukee because they were having, it was, I can't remember the name of the promotion, but it was like one of their last shows. They were, you know, this was going to be it. And he showed up randomly in Milwaukee, gave somebody a GTS and like ran out, you know, the side door or whatever.
Of course. Finally, news and notes. Here's some indie news for you. We found out last night MJF will take on Adam Cole at World's End. Well, before that, he has a match this Sunday. Maybe you haven't heard of him. Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, local indie company down here in South Florida. It'll be MJF versus QT Marshall in the main event. It is the BRCW Festival of Fights, playing off the Festival of Lights. Hanukkah coming up soon. Colt Cabana, Matt Riddle, our buddy Brutus the Barber Beefcake, some of the other names that'll be on this show this week.
That's so weird. Like,
it's so weird.
I'm excited, but like MJF at this, especially like MJF's character, doesn't seem like someone who's just going to show up at a place called Festival of Fights. I understand he's Jewish and, you know, he helps you lean into the theme of the whole thing. But like MJF, the character, is somebody who doesn't want to wrestle that much. Like, I'm not saying, you know, Maxwell right. Jacob Friedman, the person, like the character is somebody who does not wrestle that much and has leaned into that at times on television.
Yes.
So for him to show up at Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, which does get a lot of love on this show, by the way.
Yes, it does.
because of the people they're able to somehow entice to come there. Good for them. Like, are you going?
I'm going. I bought tickets and I was like, this isn't going to actually happen, but I'm like, let me buy. And then he posted a promo this week promoting it even more. So Sunday, stay tuned to YouTube. Maybe I'll have some coverage of MJF wrestling an indie show.
Maybe. And because QT Marshall is there, you never know.
Right.
Maybe the Costco-ish guys show up.
Oh, good. I'm expecting that as well. They are Boca residents, so it's going to be the place to be. Deonna Purrazzo's on the card. Like, it is
good. At least somebody gets to watch a wrestle.
So stay tuned. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Who knows what you'll see this Sunday?
Can't wait. Can't wait to see the content that you're able to get out of Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. What did you have as your matches of the week?
Starting going back to Friday, Chad Gable versus Cody. Like, the internet always jokes that Triple H is very tapped in on social media and seeing what wrestling fans are tweeting. And for whatever reason, last week there was a tweet going around about like, damn, it's a shame how Chad Gable was pushed, re-signed, and then forgotten about. And Hunter, I guess, saw that. It's like, all right, I'll show you. Roll them out there with Cody, and they put on a hell of a main event on Friday.
So one of my pet peeves in wrestling, in any match, I've gotten to a point where I understand you got to have like the rest holds, right? But if you're using like something that's like your finishing maneuver, like the ankle lock,
sure,
like a sharpshooter, like one of these like traditional, when you take off the boot and Cody doesn't even sell that his ankle's hurting after you've taken off the boot and applied the ankle lock, like that's one where it's like, okay.
He's getting
it kind of lost its luster for me. Like I enjoyed it, and then they take the boot off, and then somehow Cody's not even affected to the point where he has to have a pull apart brawl with KO after. Like there's got to be some effect to that happening to Cody, but apparently not.
I'm telling you that him and Cena, it's gonna be no selling for 20 minutes at Mania. It's gonna be move after move, going back and forth. Like
objectively, that would be sick. Objectively, very, very sick and very meta, but I would enjoy it. In fact, I think that is the best way to enjoy that match is if we get Cena Cody and nobody's selling. That would be objectively sick.
That'll be fun.
I actually enjoyed Motor City Machine Guns DIY from Friday night, which we got a championship change. DIY now the tag team champions over on SmackDown, and I think part of it was because I also just didn't see the heel turn coming. Maybe I should have seen it coming from Gargano, but the fact that he went low and they become the tag team champs, like I enjoyed that tag team matchup.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then again, the little storytelling, the fact that even you get like reuniting with Candace, we're like, oh, she's a heel, we're a face, they weren't doing much, like you get that back. Like I was surprised by that. The crowd still doesn't seem into the Motor City Machine Guns. I don't know if it's a WWE problem or whatever, but like there's still a disconnect there right now.
I don't know what else do they have to do?
I mean, do we give the crowd too much credit? Like, do they just not know who they are?
I mean, that's certainly a possibility, and I guess they haven't had, like, a ton of mic time necessarily to kind of introduce who they are as characters.
Like, the same way we rip AEW for bringing guys from other promotions, that's what these guys are to the WWE audience. So maybe they're just like, all right, cool, they won belts, but they don't really know much else about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Very good. We already mentioned it, Claudio versus Ospreay.
I mean, yes.
It's just sign me up every time. You know,
the
arm
spot in the steps, like I don't know if some of these moves are able to be safe. Like, I'm fine. Like, but somehow those guys figure it out.
I mean, again, if two guys are gonna figure it out, it is those two guys. Uh-huh.
That's fair. Uh-huh.
I also enjoyed two of the women's main events. I enjoyed Mariah versus Mina, wished it would have been a little bit longer, and I thought Rhea versus Raquel was pretty good. That was one of the better, I think, spots we've seen with Raquel, you know, going power for power with Rhea on Monday Night with Raw.
Yeah, I think that's fair also. And then from Saturday, I enjoyed Fletcher and Okada. Like, I didn't see that ending coming. Like, even though they're pushing Fletcher, like, I thought that was good. Okada becoming a face again, like, people getting behind him. Like, I thought that was interesting. And I think that also adds to what a star Fletcher's becoming. The fact that that was able to be where everyone's been so anti-Okada since he got there. And it's like, oh, we hate this guy more. So I enjoyed that on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like, you're always going to have a lot of really good options during the Continental Classic. Right. Because the matchups just kind of lean into that. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of options next week. Saturday night's main event, Continental Classic continuing, building towards ROH Final Battle, which we didn't even mention Matt Cardona.
Yeah.
against Chris Jericho, which is, God, I hope Cardona wins. That would be... Yeah, we can only hope. But as Brian mentioned, we always put up a lot of different content on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. So make sure you check that out. Going to be some original content coming out of Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. And again, on Saturday night, we are going to be live right there on that YouTube page doing a special reaction show with Saturday night's main event returning in WWE. So we'll certainly talk about that. And then next Thursday, we'll talk about it all again right here on GKW.